Hi, I'm Adam, and with my wife and I, we've been at Good Life for about 7 years nearly now, and our four kids, they're all sort of youth and one beyond youth now. So we've been around the community for a while. But not only that, in my day job, I work at ACC TV, which, if you don't know, there's a close affiliation with Good Life because Mike Jeff, one of the founding leaders of Good Life, also founded ACC TV, the Australian Christian Channel. If you know nothing about it, give it a Google later, or you can find the apps on your phones and smart devices and check out a heap of great movies and documentaries and a whole lot of stuff there. But I'm telling you this because I love story, and I live in a film and TV world, so I particularly love film and TV stories. And some of the films that I love the most are those movies where those great twists at the end. You know, movies kind of like The Sixth Sense and The Prestige or The Usual Suspects. There are a heap of these that came out all in a bunch together for a while. I just love those movies. And today I want to talk about a story from the Bible, a really common story, but I think sometimes we're missing the twist at the ending. And when we see that twist, it just takes us to a deeper level of understanding and points us in a fresh and new direction. So let's jump in. This story happens in Luke chapter 10. It's the only gospel that this story is told in. In the story, a teacher of the law comes up to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, what do I need to do to get eternal life?" It's not the rich young ruler story. Jesus talks to this teacher of the law and he says, "Hey, you read the law. You've read it. You've studied it. What do you think it says?" And this teacher replies, this lawyer replies, and he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus is like, nailed it. That's it. Just keep doing that. You're on the right track. But this lawyer, he's kind of like, but Jesus, who's my neighbor? Now this question, it might sound kind of strange to us, but if you realize this expert in the law is actually quoting the law at Jesus, makes a bit more sense. You see, love the Lord your God is from Deuteronomy, and love your neighbor as yourself is from Leviticus. Now, I know we love to write the law of the Lord on our hearts, so we're all busy in Leviticus every week. But for those of us that maybe aren't so familiar, the exact verse this lawyer is quoting is Leviticus 19, verse 18. It's from a section talking all about sort of being a good neighbor. But it's interchanging the language with your people. It's connecting this idea of neighbor to Israelites. And so it's not strange that this lawyer's kind of going, "Oh, that's great, Jesus, but who is my neighbor?" And so then Jesus jumps into this story. He says, there's a man, and he's traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Along the way, he gets set upon by a bunch of robbers. They strip him naked, and they leave him in a ditch, half dead. Along comes a priest. Now, a priest is kind of the highest standing in the Israelite community. They stand between man and God. They mediate that position. He sees this man. He crosses to the other side of the road. He keeps going. Along comes a Levite. The Levites are kind of second below the priest. They work in the temple, but they're not at the same level of the priest. He sees this man. He crosses the road. He keeps on going. Along comes a Samaritan. Now, Samaritans and Jews, they didn't get on. If you know the history, the Samaritans trace their lineage back to Abraham, but they were the people left behind when the northern kingdom, when the Jews were taken away as captives, and they interbred with the people that were in the region. And so they were kind of seen by the Israelites, by the true Jewish people, not to be true Jews. And so these guys, there was a lot of animosity between them, and you can read a bit more about that elsewhere if you're interested. But this guy, he sees this beaten up man, goes over, binds up his wounds, puts him on a donkey, takes him down the road to the nearest inn, which is the best hospital you're going to get at that time, pays for the guy's treatment, and says, "I'll be back in a few days to settle any debts if this doesn't cover it." And it's at this point that Jesus then asks, "So who was the neighbor to that man?" And in this moment, the whole story twists. You see, did you notice that this man that Jesus is asking about, He's the only one in the story that we know nothing about. We don't know his age. We don't know his social status. We don't know his ethnicity. We don't know his religion. So this man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, we know nothing about. So when our legal teacher hears this story for the first time, he's much more likely to identify with the priest, with the Levite. And as he looks to the man in the ditch, he doesn't even know, is this one of my people, right? So why wouldn't he cross the road and keep going? And so as the lawyer's listening to this story, okay, I'm not a priest, I'm not a Levite, but I'm the next layer of society, right? So I'm going to turn up next in the story. Well, surprise, there's a Samaritan. Oh my goodness, and he gets involved. Oh, so right, I get it. Samaritans should look after Samaritans. That man in the ditch must have been a Samaritan, right? At that moment, when Jesus asks that man, who was the neighbor to that man in the ditch? He says, shift your perspective. I want you to look at this as the man in the ditch, as the one beaten up and half left for dead. And as this Jewish man lies in the gutter, he watches one of his people, a priest, walk by and leave him to die. As this man lies in the gutter, he sees a Levite walk past and leave him to die. He then sees a Samaritan man. Now, using the teacher's logic, this is the one man that has the right to keep on walking, because the teacher is looking to justify just how far should my neighborness go. And the Samaritans share heritage, but this is the sharp edge of where he wants to define just how far should this grace extend. You see, in this moment, this teacher's heart is closer to the heart of another story that I think we get mixed up a lot from the Old Testament, the story of Jonah. You see, at the end of Jonah, we see Jonah and he's having this fight with God. And he says, hey God, the whole reason I didn't want to go in the first place was because you're too compassionate. You're too merciful. You see, God asked Jonah to go and preach against the wickedness of Nineveh. If you go back and read that story, it never mentions what would happen if the people repented. In fact, when Jonah's in the belly of the whale, he doesn't say, I'm sorry, God, I'll go back to Nineveh and thread your message. He says, I'll go back to Jerusalem and offer sacrifices there and tell everybody there about how salvation comes from you. And so at the end of Jonah, he's fighting with God and he says, I knew this would happen. You'd show mercy against this city of Nineveh, who I think are too wicked for your mercy. God's like, Jonah, have you got any right to be angry? Jonah doesn't even answer. He just kind of storms off, sits outside the city and builds himself this little shelter. He's like, I'm going to give God a second chance to get involved here. There's a vine grows up over this shelter. God brings this vine. And then the next day, God sends a worm and the vine goes, dies. A hot wind blows. The sun beats down on Jonah. And again, he gets so angry and he's like, God, I wish I was dead. You're not killing this city. And my vine, it's died. And God's like, Jonah, you're more upset about a plant than you are about this great city and all these people that don't know their left from their right. Jonah is sitting there going, God, your mercy shouldn't reach this far. That's the same heart that this legal teacher brings to Jesus. Jesus, how far should the mercy of God reach? How far should the love of God reach? When we see this twist in the story, it does two things. The first is it confronts us, because deep in our hearts, we know that our mercy doesn't want to reach as far as God's. We know there's times where we think, man, the world would be better off without them. Or we kind of think they don't deserve that good thing that they're getting. See, mercy doesn't work in fairness. Mercy is abundance and grace that we don't deserve. And we have no better example of that than in the cross, where Jesus gives up all of what he had in heaven to come as the Savior for all. And so it confronts us. But the other cool thing that this does in this moment, when we see the depth of this, is it frees us. Because there's one question this legal teacher never has to ask again. How far does your mercy go, God? The answer's everywhere, anywhere, at all times, even to places where you don't want it to go. And so this teacher of the law, he is being set free to take the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, wherever he likes. And aren't we the same? So, I'm going to leave you with the same words that Jesus left this teacher of the law with. Go and do likewise. Have a great week.